Hey there. Welcome to the Ecofiles, conversations from the MRU Sustainability Forum. I'm Juliana Adair, an MRU student and aspiring journalist. A recent event here at Mount Royal University, the 2024 Sustainability Forum, brought together a variety of innovative speakers who are passionate about sustainability. Austin Lang, the sustainability manager at the Calgary Stampede, was one of these speakers. I had the opportunity to talk with Austin about his work, which includes leading education initiatives about sustainable food systems. Austin is also a research associate at the Resilience by Design Research Lab at Royal Roads University. In this position, he helps bring people and organizations together to tackle climate challenges. In this episode, we discuss Austin's passion about using education models to empower communities. What's really cool about Austin is how he connects big ideas with practical solutions anyone can apply. Like permaculture, a sustainable design approach that works with nature to create environments that grow food, support wildlife, and build strong communities. Austin works to apply these sustainable solutions, such as permaculture, to environments like Calgary. But ultimately, he really strives to create a future where all beings on our planet can thrive. So, what led you to pursue environmental education and communication?
Good question. When I was at Mount Royal, I took an intro to sustainability class with Dr. Dinesh and was inspired in a great way. He made us do all these random little projects and think about what impact we could have. And I think it was in my third year at that point, and it just completely changed the trajectory of my career.
Is there a project that you did that kind of still stands out?
Yeah, we did a research project. It had to be on something environmental, whether it was a documentary or news article or story that was breaking. And I did mine on blackfish, documentary around most around SeaWorld and capturing of whales. And yeah, it stands out in my mind of like just like first time of really doing an in-depth research study around sustainability.
What inspired your transition into sustainability management?
I moved through a few different positions. I was working in sustainability education and then had a few opportunities along the way. And I think that I've always kind of gone back and forth between putting things into action and then educating people about it. And the position that I'm in now allows me to do both. So I'm able to put action projects into place and see real impact from those, and then also educate and understand, help people to understand why we're doing it and why it's important.
How do you think these education models can empower communities to be more sustainable?
I think that the first step to really understanding how we're going to change our future and make sure that we can live on this planet for hundreds, thousands of years is making sure that people understand the impact that they're having and understand that they have the capability to change what is around them. Thinking about climate change, climate impacts, and then climate adaptation as well.
How do you see models like permaculture being important?
Yeah, permaculture, I think, brings back to the roots. I always find it funny that when people think of sustainability, they think of new things. They think of solar panels and electric vehicles, but there is this other side of sustainability that's really going back to the way that we've done things for thousands of years. And that's really what permaculture is about. It's going back into understanding how ecosystems work and trying to work with those ecosystems. I think that there is this deep healing from doing that work that not only nourishes people with food, but also nourishes the planet and creates a better mental health space. There's so many positives that come out of frameworks like permaculture, and I would like to call it like regenerative practices.
How do you see permaculture fitting into urban environments like Calgary?
Yeah, I think that permaculture there's a lot of really good case studies of permaculture happening around the city. Highfield Farm being one of them. There's community gardens and community forests all around Calgary. But if you're not looking for them, you likely won't see them. And so there's some really amazing work going on. And I think it's creating these pockets of diverse ecosystems and communities of people that care deeply about making sure that they're creating good food, that they are supporting an ecosystem. And there's so much passion behind it as well.
You've mentioned this desire for a future where all beings can thrive. I'm wondering, what are some key steps in this journey in order for it to be successful?
Yeah, I think that when we think about sustainability, oftentimes the focus is around carbon and reducing our emissions. And that's important, but without making sure that everyone is a part of that journey, I think that we miss a really vital step. If somebody can't put food on their table, then there's a pretty low chance that they're going to be able to move over to an electric car. And so when we're thinking about the transitions of energy, the transition of food, all of these different things that we require to stay alive, we really need to think about how do we be inclusive in that space and make sure that we are bringing everyone along. Because if we start to leave people behind, start to leave groups behind, it's going to backfire, and we're going to see more and more problems start to sprout up in different ways. When we're looking at this huge, audacious goal of becoming a sustainable society or meeting the UN SDGs, really, when you look at those SDGs, there's all of these interconnected problems weaved into each other. And by working on one, you're working on all of them.
Who are some of these groups that are being left behind, do you think?
I think that there are several groups that have historically been left behind. We have minority groups. I mean, even when you think beyond just human beings, we think of animals and plants and all sorts of other beings that aren't given a voice. They can't speak English or can't speak a language. So then they are pushed to the side. And like the first project that I did, when you think about whales, they have their own language, but because we can't understand it, that group of beings is taken advantage of, they're captured from their pods and put into places for us to enjoy. But I think that that's a classic example of us thinking, oh, this is going to be good for us, but not thinking of the next steps or how that's impacting that being.
What are some simple actions do you think that Calgarians can be doing to be more sustainable in their everyday life?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I love biking to work. I think that it's a great way of using, Calgary has the most paths out of any city in North America, and they're great paths. One, it's like reducing emissions, but more than that, it's helping mental health. You get to slow down and really enjoy the city and all the seasons that are around. And then, yeah, like you were talking about that food system, supporting local farmers, really learning about where your food comes from. I think there's a lot of really great slow food restaurants that are popping up and really talking about where the food comes from and why it's important that we know that. I think just going to somewhere where you can enjoy straight from the farm or know where that food came from, I think that you get a better appreciation of what that food tastes like, what it took to create that meal.
I want to give a huge thanks to Austin Lang for making the time to talk with me about his passionate work within sustainability. I also want to give a huge thanks to Professor Mauricio Latapi, who organized the MRU Sustainability Forum and helped to connect students with guest speakers. This episode of The Ecofiles, Conversations from the MRU Sustainability Forum, was written, hosted, and produced by me, Juliana Adair. Here at Mount Royal University, we acknowledge that we are on the traditional territories of the Siksika Nation, the Piikani Nation, the Kainai Nation, the Iyethka Stoney Nakoda Nation, consisting of Chiniki, Bearspaw, and Goodstoney, the people of the Sutina Nations, and the Métis people. This acknowledgement is a commitment to honor their teachings, which have long embodied sustainability and harmony with the land. As we discussed in this episode, true sustainability is not just about innovation, but also about learning from practices rooted in respect for ecosystems. Indigenous communities have led this way of thinking for generations, yet marginalized groups are often left out of these important conversations. Acknowledging the land is just the start. It's about building a sustainable future rooted in respect, partnership, and action. And that's something we all have a role in. Thanks for listening. From Mount Royal University in Calgary, I'm Juliana Adair.